1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Local Youth Worker, a podcast brought to you by Reformed Youth Ministries. I'm your host, John Parrott. This is episode number 436, and I'm here with Linda Oliver once again. Linda, how's it going?
Hey, John. It's going well today.
Yeah, good to see you. So this podcast, I don't exactly know how long it's going to be. It might be a little shorter, but I want to say kind of from the start, Lynn Howard gave me this idea. She emailed me and said, I think with her parents of her students, she sends them, it might be a weekly email where she just kind of has resources that she recommends and podcasts, things like that. And so she just said, hey, have you ever thought about doing something like that on the podcast? And you know, I think from time to time we share resources, but this is going to be kind of what we're currently reading, what we're currently watching, and then maybe what we're currently learning. And it doesn't necessarily have to be related to either of the previous two. So, Linda, would you like to start off? Just what are some of the things that you're currently reading?
Mm-hmm. So there's current reads and there's recent reads I can go over too, because it looks like you have a really long list and I don't know if I've ever been reading that many books at once.
Well, some of those I'm not actually reading yet. They're on the to read.
So. Gotcha. I do have more to reads, but they're all kind of for the same project. So one is a book called Worthy: Celebrating the Value of Women by Elise Fitzpatrick and Eric Schumacher. So it really just goes through like the different parts of the biblical storyline and showing the worth of women in all of those different places and the roles that they kind of played in redemptive history. That has been good. There's an RYM project that has me reading this.
That's right. A little teaser.
Yeah. I kind of along those lines, but not necessarily for that project. There's also a book whose author is escaping me. I almost have it in my mind, but I don't remember. But it's a book called Neither Complementarian Nor Egalitarian, and is just trying to look at like some of the basic passages that we talk about in those arguments through like a lens of neither of those things. Because putting those lens on those passages is kind of anachronistic, right? Like those are categories we came up with later. The biblical writers weren't thinking, well, I'm egalitarian or complementarian or whatever. And so it just highlights some things that we tend to overlook in those passages. And she's not arguing for either side. That's been interesting. There's a book,
it's Michelle Lee Barnwell.
Yeah. See, I was like, I know it's like hyphenated.
Yeah.
There is a book I recently read called The Other Half of Church. I think the authors are Michael Hendricks and Jim Wilder. It's super interesting because Jim Wilder is like a neuroscience guy, but also a theologian. And he's talking about how a lot of the time in the church, we tend to engage mostly our left brain, as in mostly like give people information, and that's our pathway to discipleship. But actually, we need to engage the other half of our brain in church as well. And that's engaged through things like relationship. And that's how we actually grow our character. A lot of the time is through right brain kind of processes. Super interesting book. There's a lot of different resources that he and others he's kind of associated with have come up with that help people even go further with those ideas. And that is a really, really interesting topic to me. And then there's a book that I read probably 13 years ago on youth ministry that I'm rereading. And I realized it had a new edition as well. It's called The God-Bearing Life by Kenda Creasy Dean. She's the one who also wrote,
Is it Unchristian? Or yeah. Almost Christian. Almost Christian.
Yeah, the one that was about moralistic therapeutic deism. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she also wrote this book, and the subtitle is The Art of Soul Tending for Youth Ministry. So like one of the quotes on the back of the book is, young people are looking for something capable of turning their lives inside out, and most of the time we have offered them pizza. Right. It's a like, wow. That's a quote from inside the book. And she's talking about like, really, like, what are kind of the practices and whatnot that we need to have to actually tend to the souls of our youth rather than just offering them pizza, which is what historically a lot of youth ministry has done. So yeah, those are, I think, the books that have been most before me recently.
Yeah, man, those are interesting. And the other one, going back, The Other Half of the Church, that was
The Other Half of Church.
The Other Half of Church. Okay. Yeah. That sounds very interesting. Yeah, I did with this, I wanted to give a shout out to the book Lit. And I think the subtitle is A Christian's Guide to Reading. Maybe this was Tony Reinke. And this, I believe, is before Tony Reinke was on Ask Pastor John podcast. And obviously before he wrote 12 Ways Your Phone Is Changing You. But I read that book years ago, and it really was just helpful, just very practical in a lot of ways, but giving a theology for reading, but also just kind of when to read certain books. He even said, the early mornings of when he's more caffeinated is more like heady theology, and then kind of lighter reading at other points. And he even talked about the importance of reading multiple books at a time, because there are some people that think, I'm just going to pick one book up and I'm just going to finish that book. But he was saying, and I've found this to be true, that when you're reading multiple books, you do typically finish them faster, because you realize, this book I can read more easily, this one's a little more difficult. So anyway, I just want to give a shout out to that book. So there's a book, and I knew I should have looked this up, but forgot. And Linda, we mentioned this, so you might help mm-hmm. me. And I know Google's in front of us, but is it The Heart of a Servant Leader?
That sounds right.
Okay. It's close enough, and people can look that up, but it's letters from Jack Miller. And I think his daughter, Barbara Giuliani, helped to edit that. But it's just a collection of his letters that he sent to missionaries, to pastors, people who were serving in God's kingdom. And this book was actually given to the elders of our church. And so that's a book that I'll just kind of read small portions of in the morning. And so that's a book that I'm just slowly working through, because some of these letters are just a couple pages. And so I'm just kind of slowly going through that. I had a lot of Harrison Scott Key. He's been talked about, I guess, somewhat lately. The Gospel Coalition had just a review of his book, How to Stay Married. And he's been on some podcasts lately. I think that book came out maybe in 2022, 2023. I can't remember, but it's the story of him discovering that his wife was having an affair, and just him kind of working through that, and the two of them working through that. And he's crass in the way that he talks, but he is a believer, and his writing, he's a professor at SCAD. So he's just a interesting author, and I read that. And then his second book, which was Congratulations, Who Are You Again? So he's just a funny guy, funny writer, but been reading some of him lately. The Anxious Generation is Jonathan Haidt's book. We've mentioned a few times, we're trying to get Jonathan Haidt on this podcast. We don't know if it's going to work out or not. One, he's very busy and might not be able to come on a show like this. But also, he's had some issues with his esophagus, I think, or his vocal cords. I can't remember, something like that, where he's not able to take as many speaking things. So who knows? I don't know what's going on there. I mean, he's a professor at NYU, so he needs to talk. So we'll see if that happens. Dopamine Nation is a book that I'm not reading, but I want to say I heard Walt Mueller talk about it a long time ago, but then Scott Heron brought it up as well. And it's a book that yeah, I'm wanting to read and hoping once I finish The Anxious Generation that I'm going to pick this one up. Just, yeah, dopamine being so in everything that we talk about. I mean, we've talked about it so much with social media and what it's doing to teens and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, looking to read that one. Yeah, those are kind of the main ones that I'll highlight. Any response to any of those, Linda? Have you read any of those? Yeah,
I have read the Jack Miller book. It has been years. One of the churches I worked at years before the pastor worked with Jack Miller. I think that's true. Yeah. I don't think I'm saying false statements there. So I like caught on to a lot of Jack Miller things back then. And yeah, they just put out like even just the ministries that have come from him or his son, Paul Miller, like they just put out good books. So I'm sure I had another thought that I forgot, but yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me say too, just those are some of the things I'm reading, but just, you know, Kurt Cooper has joked on this podcast before of how much I read. And I've tried to say repeatedly, he gives me way too much credit because I don't read that much. There are seasons where I'm not able to read much at all. And then there are other seasons where I'm able to cram in a lot, you know, maybe in a few months. And so, yeah, I feel like some people, you know, they write a bunch of here's what they're reading and they put stuff out there. And it's just sometimes, I don't know, it's kind of like, okay, are we just trying to show how much we can read and how much we can do. And, you know, as we're talking about these books, I just want to be clear to say, I'm not able to read that much. I'm a very slow reader. And, at times I'm just not able to read much at all. So I just kind of want to say that as we're talking about this list. And I was about to ask you what you're watching, but it looked like you're about to respond to that.
Well, I was going to ask, do you have a way that you like catalog what you read or anything like that? Or like, I don't know, record like, oh, well, this book said something about this topic or for like reference later.
Yeah, I don't. Sometimes I found that I'm just able to recall certain things. But other times, you know, I've used Goodreads in the past and I don't use Goodreads anymore. And I know that was kind of a helpful way just to kind of keep up with the library and maybe make notes. I saw somebody one time just say that they typically have a sheet of paper for every book that they read and they just write a page number on it and maybe a word. And then they just kind of keep going and it's very short. And it's usually kind of, you know, if you're looking at a piece of paper, it's kind of two columns. I mean, you fold it in half and you just kind of on one column, you're just writing page numbers with like random words or phrases and you're not spending a lot of time. And so it doesn't take a lot of time, but typically you're going to fill up two columns and then they just fold that and put it in the back of the book when they finish. And I haven't done that consistently, but I've done that for a few books and it's been helpful at times when I'll pick it back up off the shelf and I'll find that in the back of the book and I'll just kind of be like, oh yeah. And I can go flip back through it and find it. And so that's something I, you know, probably need to do more of, but I don't. But that's something I picked up from somebody. Yeah. A long time ago. Mm-hmm. So do you have some kind of cataloging system?
Somewhat. I don't remember when I picked this up, but at some point I realized like there are some books that I only have digital copies of, whether that be a PDF or Kindle, or it's in my like Bible software. And then there are others that I have hard copies of, and how do I keep track of what I have? And I found a program called Zotero that can catalog of the stuff you have. And I started using that, which when you first set it up, you're going to just have to input everything. And then you can give everything tags. So I could say like, this is on my bookshelf, or this is like in my Kindle or whatever. And I could also tag categories of like, oh, well, this covers this topic or whatever. If it's not already obvious through the title, because you can search through things. But when I purchase new books, there's also a browser extension where I can just go to the Amazon page for it and say like, add this book to my Zotero. So it'll input all of the information including like a description of the book. So it's a little bit easier to search later, but then I still have to add my own tags in once I have read the book and I'm like, well, I want to go back and remember that this topic was covered, which I don't always do that very well. So it's only as good as you make it.
Yeah. That's funny. I remember that now because when I was in seminary and doing work on my thesis, keeping up with content becomes vital because you're going to misquote somebody, you're going to plagiarize somebody, you're going to just forget. And so, yeah, that was very helpful. I totally forgotten about that. What are you watching right now? What are some shows or movies that you've watched? And, you don't have to share everything if you want to keep some guilty pleasures to yourself.
There is one reality TV show that is my guilty pleasure that we don't have to talk about.
But I'm just going to let it go.
I did recently watch the Reese Witherspoon movie Wild. I did not realize until the very end, it's actually based on a true story.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That was like years ago, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did she win an Oscar for that, or was she nominated?
I think she may have. Yeah. There was a night where I was like, you know what? I've got plenty of time. What movie should I watch on Amazon Prime? And it was down to that or Barbie, because I haven't seen Barbie yet. And I was like, I think that the vibe of this one is more what I'm feeling right now. So Went with it. Yeah.
Okay. And did you like it? All right.
That's a good question. I think I did. Yeah.
She goes out. I mean, the movie Wild, she goes out into the wild, right. And just kind of hikes and.
Yeah. She, after like really hard life experiences, she just decides she's going to, walk the Pacific Crest Trail. Hmm. And so that's what she does, like by herself.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. The thing I watched most recently that's definitely different from that, and I think the title is Lover, Stalker, Murderer, and it's a Netflix documentary. It was one of those things. I mean, it's just kind of like a Dateline, I mean, true crime type thing. And I'll just say it is crazy. And I mean, the premise is that this guy begins to date this girl, and he's clear that he doesn't want to have anything serious, and she's fine with that. And then he begins kind of dating this other girl, and then the former girl gets insanely jealous and just starts stalking him and stalking her, and it gets crazy and escalates. And even the investigators that they interviewed on this said it's the craziest case they've ever dealt with. And so, it's obviously mature content. I mean, it's nothing too much. I was able to watch it with our older two children. But it was just, it was sobering. It's sad. But it's just kind of one of those, like I said, true crime type things. If anyone's interested in that. Also saw 13 Hours again recently, which I just feel like that's a good movie that didn't get a lot of, attention. It seemed like there was, some political narrative that was circling it a little bit. But it had John Krasinski and James Badgedale, who was in The Departed and some other movies. But anyway, interesting movie. And then Tangled, I'll throw that in there too, because we watched that recently, and that's one of my favorites. I love that movie. It's so good. Are you a fan?
That just made me remember, I guess another recent movie I've watched is Aladdin, and I watched it with one of the guys who helped animate it. So there you go.
That's amazing. Yeah, it is. So you should tell them, I mean, because we have this friend in common, I guess, acquaintance.
Yeah. I mean, so it was someone that I met while I was in Montana that Scott Heron knows, that he has helped animate a number of the like OG Disney movies. So he helped work on the genie in Aladdin, and every character, there's a team that works on it, but he told us specific scenes for the genie that he did and how he came up with the idea for the genie to like not have eyes. That part towards the end where Jafar is controlling the genie, the genie kind of doesn't have eyes for a minute until he looks back at Aladdin, and like he described how he came up with that and what that's communicating and stuff. And yeah, that was just one of the scenes he worked on.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I remember meeting this guy out there, and I mean, I think Lion King he's helped out with, yeah, all kinds of stuff. And it's just crazy to be like, this guy actually drew these characters. Yeah. And he's volunteering at Scott Heron's youth group, which is so cool.
Yeah.
So look, I know we're going to start wrapping this up. What are you learning currently as we draw this to a close? It could be specifically from one of these books, from what something that you watched, but it doesn't have to be related to it. Yeah, I was thinking Aladdin.
Yeah, no, well, no, I was... I can't say what I'm learning from the other show that I'm watching. That would be really funny, though. And also what I'm learning from Twitter about what might be up with the Princess of Wales. Who knows, man?
Yeah.
That's a wild story. But I am here for all of the conspiracy theories, because last time I was into a so-called conspiracy theory, it really wasn't a conspiracy theory because Britney is now free. So that's all I'm going to say. But I don't have an opinion on the Kate Middleton stuff. I don't really know. Anyway. So yeah, what am I learning recently? I would say I have been dabbling around a lot in topics that are related to like discipleship and formation. So like that book, The Other Half of Church, would be one of them. But just noticing a lot of things about like where it feels like maybe some of the conversation about that needs to go in light of our current cultural moment. There was a study by Barna that I was watching a clip of whatever webcast they did about it. And they were suggesting that it looks like, I think they were talking about younger generations when they were talking about this part, that rather than giving people lots of content now, what they really need, because we're so overloaded on content, is habits and rhythms and things like that, right? And so, I don't know, I've just been noticing things like that, thinking about what it looks like to really engage not only the right side of our brain in discipleship, but how do we help people engage, like, how do I form habits that will help shape me and form me spiritually? And what does it look like for us to really disciple people? If I've never read any of John Mark Comer stuff, but I hear that he's really into using the word apprentice to describe what discipleship is. And I think that's a good word for us to understand kind of what discipleship looks like, because apprenticeship, like, it's really someone walking alongside you and like developing you as you go through things, rather than just being like, here's some information you need to know, which unfortunately is kind of a lot of what a lot of the models that we have tended to use in the church. So I've just been noticing a lot of that stuff, and then also noticing like, oh wow, like there are some areas of my life where I am getting to be developed, and I see how beneficial this is. Like right now I am like support raising for another role, and they're developing me in how to do that and walking alongside me as I do that, and I'm learning so much more that way, right? So much more, like some of which has to do with rest and margin like we talked about in the last episode, but also just other things. So yeah, that's a lot of what I've been kind of thinking and learning about recently.
Yeah, that's really good. And I mean, just going back to the spiritual formation aspect, that sounds, yeah, fascinating. As far as what I'm learning, and just kind of a side note, I guess, related to this, I mean, for those listening, I think it's just a helpful practice to just ask this question of, what are you learning recently? Because oftentimes we just go through life and we're not pausing to reflect. And so the Lord is constantly teaching us, and just kind of stopping and asking that question, what you're learning. Well, one thing I'm doing is I'm taking a class from Redeeming Productivity. This is maybe the third episode in a row where I've mentioned Redeeming Productivity and Reagan Rose, and want to, you know, point people to his ministry. But I'm taking a class entitled Optimize Your Week. And it's just helpful on trying to, you know, set up a weekly calendar and trying to block off time and things like that. And so it's very helpful. And, you know, when I encourage people, I think this is the newest course that he offers on his website. And I think there's a discount right now with it, if you go check that out. And I can link to that in the show notes. But, you know, one of the things he talks about is just, you know, mapping your energy. And it's important to do energy mapping. And, you know, all of us, anyone listening to this knows there's times of the day where you're more focused and you have more energy and times where you don't. And you really need to kind of look at that and be honest in every day, you know, when that is, and try to kind of map your day according to that. Map your most like productive tasks and things like that in that block of time. Because, you know, as he said, and he's drawing this from other people, you know, we say we, you know, have 8 hours a day that we're working, you know, something like that. And everybody's occupation is different, but it's really like 2 to 4 hours that we're really focused. And kind of outside of that 2 to 4 hours, there's tasks we can do that don't require a lot of focus. And so anyway, there's just a lot of helpful practices from that. And so I guess just kind of what I'm learning right now is just really trying to steward my time well, to think about my weeks and my days and my calendar and things like that. Excuse me. And to, yeah, just be a little more intentional in how I do that. So yeah, that's a little bit about what I'm learning. There's definitely other things from the books and things like that, but I know it's getting close to time anyway. Linda, thanks for sharing, and maybe one day we can get you to talk about that reality show that you're watching. You can share that with us. But no, I appreciate you jumping on. It's always fun talking to you, and I'll talk to you later.